good morning, everyone. From here, anyway, this is program number 20 in our Rays and Initiations webinar series. It's the second part of Rays and Initiations. I'm using a little different headphones here. I know that they're a little more elaborate, maybe a little more unnatural, but I'm trying to get a better sound. We have been talking about what is learned on the path of initiation compared to the path of the way of higher evolution. And that way of evolution, higher evolution, is putting us in touch with the central spiritual sun. We have moved on from the heart of the sun in relation to the path of initiation to the central spiritual sun, whatever that may mean, probably the monadic nature of our sun, though finally there is that which is, in fact, at the heart of the Pleiades and may be considered the central spiritual sun. This is always about the decision which is now being made at the sixth initiation, things that we can talk about but which are so far beyond our present ken that we have no true idea of the substance of that experience, and yet it is useful to us as part of what we might call the greater vision. So, and there is training that is going on here within the ashram itself, within the master's ashram, training for this decision. He has to learn to make those kinds of decisions which will certainly affect his ashram, which will affect the greater ashram, and actually which will affect the world. So he is learning how important decision may be and that he must abide by that decision. Thus, within his ashram, the master learns, quote, occultly to decide and to condition the creative center for which he is responsible. That's an excellent way of looking at the meaning of an ashram. I think I'll put that down here. An ashram is a, quote, creative center. And, you know, so many of us in our little groups and groups for which we may have taken on some responsibility are learning how to work in this way. Okay, for which he is responsible. He has to do this with the ashram surrounded by all those who are in training and thus who are the agents of his will. We remember that the master acts as the monadic point. monadic point within his ashram. Through them he must act, and they thereby limit necessarily the vision to which he reacts. I think this is well for all of us to remember. Sometimes we may feel with our co-workers that all that we wish to express and think perhaps we could express if we were working on our own is not capable of being expressed by those who are drawn to us and through whom we work. Well, just imagine how the master must think when surrounded by the average aspirants, or let's just say the disciples who can stand on the periphery of his ashram. Through them he must act, and they thereby limit necessarily the vision to which he reacts, and step down the rate and quality of the energy of which he is the focal point. This is inevitable, because whenever there is service, the one served cannot be at the same vibratory level as the ones who are attempting to serve. That's just, you know, obvious. And something I think very much to be taken into consideration and providing us, when we think of it properly, with the right kind of patience. I think DK said that instead of criticism, what is to take its place is the loving recognition of limitation. We must have this kind of attitude with those through whom we may one day be working. And certainly we do hope that the Master has for us the loving recognition of our limitations, because certainly we provide them when he is thinking of what he would like to accomplish. Okay, he goes on. This energy, the energy of the Master at the heart of the ashram, and the energy which comes to him and for which he is a focal point, this energy constitutes the animating life of the ashram, as well as the force which the disciples and initiates must use in their work in the world. Let's just say, that's not correct. A force focally applied to them. A force focally applied to them. Although it's sometimes said, well, if energy is the higher thing and force is the lower thing, it's sometimes technically difficult to discriminate between them. Let's just say that a force has a certain type of direction and usually works from a greater center, forcing developments within a lower field. So this energy constitutes the animating, life-giving life of the ashram, as well as the force which the disciples and initiates must use in their work in the world. And so we, in fact, as we express in the world, are in process of using the energy which reaches us as a force from the Master. This, of course, in cooperation with the energy which each disciple within himself occultly generates. So applied from without and above, and generated from within, and these are factors we take into consideration, and for which he, in his lesser degree, is responsible. So we learn here that we are responsible for generating a certain energy which is in keeping with the energy generated in the ashram and applied to us as a force. More anent to this subject will be given when we study specifically the 9 initiations, wherein another synthesis, interlocking with the synthesis of the will appear. Now, at this point, although it creates a certain discontinuity, I did work on this, and in the work that is presented as the last, the pages of A Treatise on the Cosmic Fire, from page 1194 to the end, I included all of this material. So, I don't think there's a point in doing this again. Now, here it tells me to go to page 428, but I think I have to go to page 412, then 428, because there was one section that I did leave out. And we'll see if I can reach that. This is such great material that, you know, one is tempted to take a second try at it, but I think I gave it what I could, combining it with the similar material from A Treatise on Cosmic Fire and also with the preliminary material. Here it is. It's 409. So lest I get confused, I'm going to make this 409. Go to page 409, and then after that, and then to 428. So let's see if I can reach this properly. 409. Let's go again. Okay. Maybe not. Okay. Begin here. Okay. So this is called certain hierarchical changes. And some fascinating material comes in here because we've been speaking of the seven paths consistently on the way of higher evolution. And here we're going to learn that there are actually nine, although not enough is said about them for us to gain a really substantive idea. Before proceeding with our consideration of the seven cosmic paths, I would like to pause here and clarify your mind, AAB, and answer certain questions which you are formulating. So it's very interesting that as the Tibetan works with AAB, she comes up with certain questions which are not even spoken, and certain evidences of obscurity in thought, perhaps, and DK notices these, and then he adapts as the process goes on. Some years ago, in 1925, I gave out to the world through your instrumentality, he's speaking to her, really, a treatise on cosmic fire. I'm sure this was, whenever he mentions these things, they are italicized. In that volume, I elaborated upon the very elementary information given upon this subject in Initiation Human and Solar. And, well, we might, you know, it might be considered elementary. It was certainly foundational. A book published earlier in 1922. So the work on Initiation Human Solar was going on until its publishing in 1922, and then the work going on in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire was going on until 1925 when it was published. Very interesting that this monumental work, which is the psychological key to the secret doctrine, DK tells us, would be published in the year of the great centennial conclave of hierarchy during the 20th century. In both these volumes, I touched upon the cosmic paths, and that's why I assembled them when I was doing the sort of video commentary finishing Cosmic Fire, just as when I'm going to, I think, work on finishing the section of this book, I'm going to include a lot of information about initiation gathered from other sources. Maybe not all of it, because it's just a huge subject. And, of course, people have to be left free to research these matters as they will. So in both of these volumes, I touched upon the cosmic paths. I gave, in very abstruse terms, well, we might say difficult. DIFCL. Well, I'm, if you don't mind, difficult. DIFC. That's going to be the word. Okay. Difficult to apply to practical affairs. I gave in very abstruse terms some information. The terms were so abstruse that few can, not even could, but can understand their meaning. And I think as we worked through those sections, we knew that to be the case. There was much speculation offered, but in terms of true and deep and reliable understanding, well, okay. It was not to be confirmed. The true significance is only for advanced initiates, not even just initiates. But, you know, an advanced initiate may be one beyond the third degree, even. But he did say he had written in Cosmic Fire principally for those who were of the third degree. It is they who would achieve true understanding. The true significance is only for advanced initiates, and therefore for those even who lie beyond the third degree, of which I am not one. Well, now here is a clarification, at least from their point of view, though from yours I may be. This is so interesting. So, advanced initiates are those beyond the fifth degree. And DK is saying that a true understanding of TCF is for them. So goodness, what is he presenting to us here? Although he did say that he was also writing for initiates of the third degree, who would be able to gather, I think, some reasonable understanding in places. But notice that he uses the word significance, which is a word which points in the direction towards which the will impels. And he uses again the word true. So some reasonable or lesser understanding is available to initiates of the third degree, and still less to those who usually study the book. But the true significance, you know, that has to do with the world of the spiritual triad. The word significance relates to that world, whereas the word meaning relates to the world of the soul on the higher mental plane. So he says, I am not one, though from your perspective I may be. In Initiation Human and Solar, very little was said because the book was written for the general public. So this is the most advanced subject we have, and the general public could not possibly take it in when those of us who have long studied these books cannot really take it in. The book was written for the general public, and thus only a few ideas were indicated to point direction. And that's very important. We may not know every step along the way, but if we at least know the direction, we will not get lost. Now, in a treatise on the seven rays, I have added to that which is already given. This book is, however, intended for a much larger number than those who read and claim erroneously to understand a treatise on cosmic fire. Well, I guess we had not better be among those who claim erroneously to understand that book, although we have made our attempts to get into it. In what I have to say, the teaching is carefully guarded. Two things should, however, be pointed out here in order to save confusion. It's interesting how cautious DK has to be in the presentation of this teaching. He has to foresee how it could be misused, and he has to know what specificities really can be released into the public mind, because if prematurely released, they could do real damage to the teaching and to humanity. All right, so here are some points. It had not been the intention of the hierarchy to give further information anent these paths. It was felt that enough had been said about this naturally incomprehensible subject, given where we stand in the stages of, let us say, preliminary initiations of the threshold. We have to say that, you know, when you looked at who DK was teaching, maybe Alice Bailey, maybe Roberto Saggioli, those two probably for sure could be called initiate disciples or initiates of the third degree, but not others, maybe with the exception of one or two, but probably not others. Okay, so had enough been said in a treatise on cosmic fire, I suppose this is what we're talking about, and there we certainly realize how very deep the subject was and how much, if we have some intuition about it, how much DK gave on the subject. Owing, however, to the fundamental changes in the hierarchical plans, the decision was altered. So these changes must have been made as a result of the war, World War II, because this section of the book was begun in 1946, and to the end of the book. And we can realize why D.K., assessing Alice Bailey's strength and the group work or lack of it that had proceeded up to this point, decided to push hard on the completion of this book and maybe some others, because it was considered maybe of greater importance than continuing to write materials specifically for, let's say at this point, for his group of 24 or for his ashramic group. They had proven that they at that time could not really fully utilize it, and there was material to be brought forth, and Alice Bailey's strength, if I infer correctly, was limited, and so he had to make sure that he got out of her what really was necessitous for the future. So because there have been changes in the hierarchical plans, I was permitted to add to the information already given. So we have to consider what is now given in the rays and the initiations as adding to that which was given in the treatise on cosmic fire. And indeed, if we've studied the subject with any care, we do see that it's not by any means a straight repetition, and other facts are emphasized. So this was due to two causes. A, the tremendous unfoldment of the human consciousness during the past 25 years, let's just say, this would take us back basically to about 1940, 1941, the years of the war and so forth. Well, the close of the First World War and to the present time. The present time at that time, which was 1946-47. The tremendous unfoldment of the human consciousness during the past 25 years warrants more affirmation. Goodness, we couldn't benefit from what was in a treatise on cosmic fire. So many aspirants were being admitted to the path of discipleship and were finding their way into the ashrams, thus forcing the passage of many initiates on the way of higher evolution. And isn't that interesting? If we succeed to enter the ashram, let's just say initiates in the ashram are forced, that's the word, forward, because the ashram has a certain structure and the law of economy is observed, and there is not allowed an overcrowding or a clogging of a particular structure. So all move on. We are evoked by their pressure forward, but they are forced forward by our response to their evocation, or to their invocation. We are evoked through their invocation, and when we succeed, we provide the release for a number of the higher initiates. This in itself is a most joyous happening, but necessitated many ashramic adjustments. Just think what the masters consider to be the source of joy, that all of us should move closer to the path of light, or progress further along the way of the path of light. Owing to this advancement, owing to the increased sensitivity of the human mechanism, we might say induced by war, I suppose, to a degree, induced by war, and owing to the decisions humanity is in the process of making as a result of the frightful testing period of the war, 1914 to 1945. In other words, it induced so much fear in humanity. The Tibetan does not use words lightly. The hierarchy, far earlier than had been hoped or anticipated, has prepared for physical plane manifestation, or for what is called by them the process of externalization. So, if we thought that the externalization of hierarchy was imminent from reading the earlier books, then it has been speeded along. Of course, by humanity's decisions and the war. However, it's rather interesting because if one reads carefully in Initiation Human and Solar, it almost seems that the Christ was preparing to emerge at the latter part of the 20th century, at least according to the sort of implied anticipations in that book, and the hierarchy would have had to precede him to a degree. But then maybe all of that changed due to the war, and maybe as a result of some of the decisions that humanity made within that war, and to their ability to invoke the Lords of Liberation and decisively win that war, then perhaps what looked like it might have been delayed by the war was again accelerated. Of course, one thing was delayed, the externalization of the hierarchy in the late 20th century was delayed. Maybe it was not foreseen that there would necessarily have had to have been the second phase to the Great War. DK worked hard to avert it, and apparently it was not written in stone that that particular phase of the war, or continuation of the Great War, the First World War, was a necessity. Now, he's also told us how we can avoid the far worse Third World War, which would make the Second World War look like child's play. He has told us that we must avoid that war. But it does seem that humanity just doesn't, through preemptive work, avoid the wars that it could avoid. But let us only hope that somehow we are able to do that with respect to the ideological war which is being fought out on the mental and emotional planes at this time and precipitates in explosions on the physical plane but has not yet become a huge conflagration involving all. We do remember he talked about the dark cloud covering much of Europe and the Middle East, and whether that cloud would precipitate upon humanity, bringing disaster. So we hope we have learned something. Anyway, it looks as if they can come sooner rather than later, because the time of the externalization and of the reappearance is not determined by years. It is determined by a particular condition, a vibratory condition, which humanity reaches, also in consultation with cycles about which we cannot really know much or even anything. So anyway, this earlier physical plane manifestation, this earlier possibility of externalizing has necessarily produced problems, it says here, and among them the strictly hierarchical problem of the passage of the initiate of the sixth degree onto the cosmic paths. You will find, if you study closely the three presentations of the teaching, presumably on the cosmic paths, in Initiation Human and Solar, a treatise on cosmic fire, and a treatise on the seven rays, what may appear to you as contradictions or differences. This is not truly so, but the casual reader may feel them to be present, even though the differences are apparent more than real. And two causes accounts for this. Well, problems. What kind of problems could be produced? You know, when does the group of sixth-degree initiates move on? When do they actually leave upon their paths? Are they retained to assist? We'll learn more about this. So there are contradictions are apparent. This is what DK is saying. Contradictions between these teachings on the cosmic paths are apparent, more than real. Okay, so the decision to throw open initiations higher than the fifth to the ready master and to familiarize the world of aspirants with their existence. Remember, if we have not taken the third degree, we are aspirants. So the decision, let's see, more apparent. Two causes account for this. Okay, the accounting for the apparent contradictions, perhaps. The decision to throw open initiations higher than the fifth to the ready master. Well, I suppose that would always have gone on, but maybe in larger measure here to some degree, and especially this question of familiarizing world aspirants with the existence of these paths in a greater extent. That was a decision. Little has ever been given beyond the fifth initiation. Many initiates are becoming masters, and many, notice the word many, you know, this does, this is heartening, and heartening for us all as we consider the compression of speed which is occurring to render lesser initiates into higher initiates. Many initiates are becoming masters, and many disciples are achieving the first initiation, and this fact confronts the three great lords, you know, who are the coordinators and directors of hierarchy, who rule the hierarchy, with a definite problem. Okay. So, the nature of this problem, you know, how to allocate, how to apportion, the membership of hierarchy, how to train, how to allow or promote passage. To make the sixth initiation and not the seventh initiation, the initiation of decision. And you kind of wonder here, in the earlier part of the teaching, was the, let's put it this way, in the earlier part of this teaching, was mastership the initiation of decision, even as he began to talk about that in the book Initiation Human and Solar. Here I must state the existence of a hierarchical problem. The use of the will aspect in the unfoldment of the initiative. We do remember that the will was more, will be more fully unfolded at the sixth degree, as the Christ discovered, than at the fifth degree. So that is considered to be a problem that he is discussing here. Okay. So whether or not this was It seems to be tied to the idea that DK can now present more on the cosmic path. So if one was wondering, was this kind of decision or permission given, was it given before Initiation Human and Solar was written? It seems not. It seems that there are changes which did occur during the 25 years previous to the writing of this book, and this allowed a different presentation. It also seems to suggest that when the that decision could be made at the fifth degree, at least during the period at which the earlier books were written. Now, you know, I'd have to review Initiation Human and Solar to see whether sixth degree decision was implied. And let's just see if we go back to that. Initiation Human and Solar decision. Let's just see what that tells us. It looks like this is not, that particular term, initiation of decision, is not used. Now, let's try another way of doing this. Sixth initiation. There are 11 references in Initiation Human and Solar. It tells about how he gains power on all the higher rays. The sixth initiation is analogous to the second degree of masonry, whilst the seventh makes the adept a master or brother, a master mason of the brotherhood on Sirius. Well, it would seem more like the position of the third initiation relative to Sirius, but okay, this is stated here. To achieve the sixth initiation, a very intensive course in planetary occultism. And the Chohan wields the law on in the chain on all levels. Okay. And then the law in the solar system, the seventh, is a very solar initiation. We really have to look at these things carefully. At the sixth initiation, the expression of this existence on an intermediate plane, a being who had... must at present remain nameless, wields the rod and administers the oath. At the sixth initiation, the initiate functioning consciously as the love aspect of the monad is brought via his father to a still vaster recognition and becomes aware of that star which encloses his planetary star. Maybe just as that star has earlier been seen enclosing his own tiny spark. So that's a solar logoic matter. The solar logos of the sun, or the solar logos considered as a star, does enclose the planetary star. Let's see, is there anything else here? Higher conclaves, a marvelous vision of the entire series is his. Planetary purposes. He sees the solar system as a unit. Fantastic. Yeah, we're going to have to really review this and look at it all together. Yeah. Okay. At the sixth initiation, the word for the atomic plane he receives. At the sixth initiation, the word which synthesizes the fourth, fifth, and sixth words is given by the Hierophant. Okay. Each show have an of array takes a certain number of initiates of the sixth initiation and trains them for specific work. That's the path of the planetary logoi. Okay. Chohan. Well, from what one can see investigating this, and we will investigate this with much greater care, what we see is that in Initiation Human Solar, okay, in IHS, okay, let's try this, if I can do this, IHS or IHS, Initiation, Human and Solar, I used to know how to do that without, okay, in IHS, no, we'll just spell it out. There is a way of doing that, of course. In Initiation Human and Solar, he does not discuss the sixth initiation as being a particular point of decision for the way of higher evolution. So that is a clarification, though probably in Cosmic Fire, he probably does. Well, we can take a look at that as well. Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and let's see, sixth initiation. There are nine references here. Okay, a mystery is understood. Unifying heat is felt by the sixth initiation. After the sixth initiation, his power extends two planes beyond. The Chohans of the sixth initiation work in the fourth and fifth ethers, okay? Law of disintegration related to the sixth initiation. When the monad has circled through all disintegrating forms and achieves the sixth initiation, it is resolved into its primal monadic source, and the five lesser sheaths are destroyed. Oh, that's a very important one. Very important. And that's something that I've been saying, but I haven't had the confirmation for it. There will sweep into the consciousness of a human being in another solar system or after taking the sixth initiation. Okay, that is a reflection. That is what happens in terms of awareness. Each Chohan of a ray takes a certain number of initiates of the sixth initiation and trains them for this work in color. No, so very interesting that even in the book, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, at least with those references that I have quickly assembled just using the word sixth initiation, the emphasis on the idea of decision at the sixth degree is not so much there. And this seems to be what DK is implying. Probably we would have to look at the path of higher evolution. Let's just see. The way of higher evolution. There's nothing there. The path of higher evolution, and there's nothing there. So let's just see path of higher evolution, and nothing there as well. But there is a section in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire where we deal with that. So let's just see what happens. Path of Earth Service, and that should be the first. All right, and this is in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire. And it's the first reference. It's the nature of the seven cosmic paths. It should be noted that the adept who undergoes the discipline and who passes through the initiatory rites, which will enable him to tread one of these seven paths, has transcended color. This is very interesting, and it does speak actually of the adept who is able to tread one of these paths. Now, an adept is a fifth degree initiate. So, of course, it makes sense anyway that an adept will be on his way to being a Chohan, but it is said that the adept, maybe per se, will be able to tread one of these seven cosmic paths. So, indeed, at least in terms of emphasis, the emphasis that it is the Chohan, which is essentially making the decision, is seemingly coming later, later in the books. And I guess I've read the last books first in a way, and have somehow assumed that that was always the case. But it seems to have been part of the hierarchical changes to make the sixth initiation and not the fifth initiation, the initiation of decision. So the fifth degree initiate, it is implied in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, could have been treading, or could have been making the decision to tread one of the paths. So anyway, that's a little collection of thoughts which does seem to confirm that these changes to render the sixth initiation and not the fifth initiation of decision were made during the 25 years previous to the giving out of this material, and maybe Some of that corresponds with the idea of the ashrams moving to the Buddhic plane, or a great majority of them, to the changes which occurred, let us say, around 1925, and which set the stage for a much for an empowerment of the hierarchy, let us say, and for an empowerment of hierarchy's influence upon humanity. So now we're speaking of a hierarchical problem, the use of the will aspect in the unfoldment of the initiate. How much of this actually can be released? We saw what happened in the Second World War when there was, let's call it, a misappropriation of will energy by those in whom the love aspect had not been developed. It must be remembered that the first ray aspect is a definite and most potent energy. It is the most potent energy in the planetary life and is carefully held in leash by those who are in a position to wield it. We have to remember that our planet, our planetary logos, though still a probationary initiate in the cosmic sense, does have a first ray monad, and this will be a very important ray for the expression of our planetary logos, perhaps later in the development of our solar system, a definite and most potent energy, and held in leash. So, you know, the will, many who misunderstand the will seem to sort of throw it around, you know, seem to enjoy the exercise of what they consider to be the will as an ability to control, dominate, command others, and so forth. This is not how the great beings work with this particular energy. They realize its destructive power, and since they work with the divine plan, they are determined not to destroy what must not be destroyed, what must be built. Okay, the medium whereby the purpose of creation is finally revealed, it is that the force which enables the hierarchy to present the plan in the three worlds, the needed dynamic whereby the deciding master sets his foot upon the path of higher evolution. In all of these cases, the will is being described. It's a medium whereby the purpose of creation is finally revealed, and that's not immediately, is it? Maybe the plan will more immediately be revealed. It is a force which enables hierarchy to present the plan in the three worlds. Without the will, none of this would happen. It's the needed dynamic whereby the deciding master sets his foot upon the path of the higher evolution. So this is a willful or willed choice. So the will is all the things just listed. A medium of force, a dynamic, and energy. Let's just make those a little more standing out. Okay. Needed dynamic. Okay. Yes, it cannot be desire that brings the master to set foot upon a particular path, but the will in relation to his inwardly sensed purpose. And it is a force. The hierarchy is not simply discussing the divine plan. Okay, the hierarchy is enacting the divine plan through the medium of the will. And the purpose comes through eventually, and it is hard won to see what this purpose is, or to work for its revelation through the medium of the will, and not again through any desire, or simply through knowledge, or even simply through love, is the purpose finally revealed. We find this out, you know, when we talk about the first purpose of Sanat Kumara, and the very occult and unknown factor that it is, and how occult schools, the true occult schools, will eventually reveal that purpose. Owing to the success of the influence of this Shambhala energy, that is, the will, the first aspect energy, upon humanity, when the experiment was made to test its impact without stepping it down through the medium of hierarchy, we might say here 1825 and maybe 1925, that's a question, but certainly after that, 1975 and then 2000, but this book was written before that point, so we could not be discussing the results of those impacts. 1825 was a major impact, we are told. So owing to the success of the influence of this Shambhala energy upon humanity, when the experiment was made to test its impact, without stepping it down to the medium of hierarchy, the entire course of man's spiritual history was most peculiarly altered. It is, you know, a forcing energy, a driving, a propelling energy. It moves ahead. Man is being made to advance more rapidly. This had not been anticipated, for, as oft I have told you, the masters know not which way mankind will go. And that's quite a statement for those who think that the masters know all, nor may they interfere by action or thinking in humanity's decision. This is a Syrian law, I suppose, you know, the Syrian law of freedom. And it may not be breached. It may not be gainsaid. It must be allowed. So the masters really don't know which way mankind will go, and it had not been anticipated that humanity would be in a position to receive this type of impact in a positive and constructive manner. Apparently, overall, it did. It was therefore necessary to control more definitely the passage of initiates onto the seven paths. Only a certain number are required to fulfill cosmic intention, the intention of the larger sphere into which we are being admitted. It was therefore decided to make the rules of entrance more difficult and more rigid. Isn't this nice to know that as we go forward, we can anticipate a tightening of the rules of admission and a higher standard for all of us to achieve. So there could not be, let's just say this, there could not be a flooding of the greater sphere with too many initiates. Well, with more initiates than were needed. This would be a violation of the law of economy, and the balance must always be preserved. So, you know, the hierarchy here is presented with a problem. Mankind responded positively, and I suppose more initiates were thereby prepared, and the possibility of an imbalance was presented, and so more stringent rules of entrance were enacted. And this is rules more stringent than had been the case when the books were begun, some, you know, 25 years basically before the present writing was being written. Forget not, brother of mine, that this is not the first time that this has happened. Okay. Lest we think of our time as totally unique, we have to have the perspective. Changes were made in Atlantean times. The door of entrance for the animal kingdom, or for animal man, into the human kingdom was stopped. And one wonders whether the animal, what happened to the animal man of the period? Was he held in a state of suspension, in a state of pralaya until more was possible. So anyway, this is comparing, there's an analogy here between admitting to the way of higher evolution and admitting into the human kingdom. No more units have since been admitted from the third kingdom into the fourth, except in a few cases and for special reasons. And I did read for you earlier how in this fourth round there will be, under certain conditions that we don't know about, the possibility for certain animals to pass into the human kingdom. We don't know which, we don't know where, and we don't exactly know when, but the general rule that individualization will occur for the animal kingdom in the next round holds, except in a few specific cases. Here, however, you have the reverse situation. It's not a blockage. The hierarchy, owing to its constitution at that time, and to the fact that very few, relatively, of our Earth humanity were members of the hierarchy, and so even then they were, wow, that's really interesting. So, and Earth humanity, even then, Earth humanity could be a member of the spiritual hierarchy. Or does this mean the humanity which at that time was on the Earth? Because it could it have included the moon chain humanity, since they were currently working out their evolution on the Earth? Could mean that too. Otherwise, we might have a contradiction in that members of Earth humanity would have progressed so rapidly that they were members of the hierarchy even before the Christ was, or maybe had achieved mastership even before the Christ, and that does not seem likely. Or does he mean that if you achieve the third degree, you could be a member of the hierarchy at that time? So we have to be careful here how we interpret the term Earth humanity. So here, however, you have a reverse situation. The hierarchy, owing to its constitution at that time, and to the fact that very few, relatively, of our Earth humanity were members of the hierarchy, maybe moon chain types were, that's another way of looking at it, could not influence directly the more developed human beings or train more aspirants. Therefore, the door was closed. That particular condition, so they could not, was it a question of capacity? Therefore, they closed the door. That particular condition does not now exist, and the supreme directors of the seven cosmic paths are these, who are these? Are these constellational logoi, CSTL, well, constellational, yeah, okay, so are these constellational logoi, the supreme directors of the seven cosmic paths are today in the same position as was the hierarchy then. The word has gone forth to the three great lords, the man with the Christ, the Mahachohan, via the three Buddhas of activity, to act in order to tighten up the requirements and to make the sixth initiation and not the fifth a decisive one, initiation of decision we see, whereas it could have been the fifth earlier, and to present those on the seven rays with a wider range of choices and a greater diversity of choice. This will perhaps alter the concentration of deciding initiates on certain paths and able to diffuse them somewhat and find other places for them to proceed towards. Thus the masters will have nine choices to face them when they face their decision. Okay. And that's so very important. There can be some reasons for this, and I'll get into it. There will be no need for those on certain rays to pass to certain already determined paths. So the paths on the way of higher evolution are not ray determined. Well, he did say that earlier. He said that they related to the ray, and the ray was taken into consideration, but the passage upon a particular path was not actually determined by the ray. But they can move forward under their own inspiration and with greater freedom. The cosmic mental plane is not barred to them, as had hitherto been the case. So this is so important. We're going to review this. At the moment, I think this has to come to an end, what we're doing right now. So this is the end of Rays and Initiations webinar commentary, program 30. And it has taken us to page 412. And actually, we began, basically 409 to 412. And before that, we had, do I dare go back all the way there? To 395. We're on page 395, but we only really went to, that's all we did. So not 396. All right. This extends the program a little longer than it should, if I'm aiming for an hour program, but okay. Perfection does not yet exist, at least in this method of doing these programs. And so we'll begin with program 21 of Rays and Initiation webinar commentary, program 21 on page 412, which is where we are now. Okay, it's really interesting. We're talking here about hierarchical opportunity, a greater diversity of possibilities, a tightening up of requirements, and the ability to reach the cosmic mental plane. And so, you know, certain paths lead to the cosmic mental plane anyway. And that's what I want to say. We have to remember. That certain paths lead to the cosmic mental plane. So what were the implications for those choosing these paths that the cosmic mental plane was barred before this time? Maybe they could only go so far on those paths. Well, anyway, not to expand too much, I'm a little bit over time anyway, so we will see you for program number 21, and I'm hoping that the audio on this has come through with this more elaborate headgear. We'll see how it works. Okay, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.